This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana, and we have a guest today. First cab off the rank, talking about regionals. Last week, Barry, we've got Alan Depp, who is the chairperson of Waikato Base. Good morning, Alan. Nice to see you again.
Mariana. Hello, Barry.
What's going to happen in 2024 in the Waikato Bays region that we could know about?
Well, it's a lot more of the same sort of things that are going on that we've been trying in the last couple of years. We'll be supporting the clubs in their advertising and their running of their learners classes. We'll be running the IP trials. We're looking at maybe some changes there. And all of the usual stuff around the rubber bridge and generally supporting clubs, because ultimately that's what we're here for. But another interesting one that we've got to do this year, or get well underway this year, of course, is the new constitutions and re-registration in incorporated societies, which needs to be done before the end of 2025.
Picking up on one of those, the beginners, Alan, I don't know how good your stats are. How do you reckon they went throughout the region, sort of numbers? Any idea? Or
I don't have the figures at my fingertips, but we actually had pretty good result in terms of an increase in membership. But of course, the attrition rate is still running fairly high as well. The demographic is, I think, for the entire game, you know, people are coming in and learning at age 40 to 50 these days, and maybe even older. And that's, of course, difficult to retain them. So the big thing is that we need to concentrate on is retention. Having got people in the door, having learnt the game, we now need to retain them.
I think that's always been the case, Alan. It seems like that's the toughest thing of all.
Yep, it hasn't changed, Barry. But we had, overall in the region, a very good result last year in terms of new numbers going through the classes. So we're very happy from that point of view.
Okay, Alan, just picking up on one of the things you mentioned was the interprovincial trials. You suggested there might be a change or two in the wind. I guess a lot of the provinces haven't yet decided what sort of format they're going to use, although I'm pretty sure Auckland, Northland have decided to go with online trials again next year. And I guess the size of their region, that probably makes sense.
Next year or this year?
This year, sorry, I'm talking about this year.
Well, that for Northland, Auckland makes a lot of sense. What we've got, well, we had in October a meeting of all of the clubs to update them as to what the region is doing and sharing experiences, because we hadn't had one of those meetings for quite some time because of COVID and all that sort of thing. One of the issues that we raised was the IPs and the trials themselves. Basically, the clubs who attended that meeting all plumped for participation. That should be the goal of the region, is to get participation. And that implies pairs trials. Our region is of a size that it is feasible to have it face-to-face or online. We tend to try and do it the way the finals will be, just to give people experience in that area. So on that basis, this year will likely be face-to-face. We gave them the options of either team selection or teams trials or pairs trials. At the present moment, we alternate pairs trials 1 year, teams trials the next. What we find is that the entries for the teams trials tends to be a little lower, because people look at the teams that have entered so far and say, well, there's not a lot of point. We don't get a lot of entries, but the clubs are saying they want participation.
When we're talking about participation, because isn't there a criteria? And doesn't IPs warrant that criteria to be met? So when they talk about participation, are they asking you to withdraw the criteria?
No, they're saying they want us to run the trials in such a way that more people can participate. Now, we can't alter the fact that the IPs are going to have an open team, a senior team, a women's team, and an intermediate team. That's the reality of what we're facing. It's how the trials are run to engender participation and get kudos that you've played in it and maybe even made the team. The issue there is that My current thinking, and the rest of the committee hasn't even thought about it at this stage, we're still working through it, but my thinking would be that we want to have a reasonable number of pairs. If we don't get those entries, then we will consider selection. So right. That's my current thinking. The committee hasn't really reviewed that at this stage.
I was just thinking, when you're saying they want to participate and have a pairs trial, they're not exactly beating the door down to enter when we have a pairs trial.
No, that's true too. And maybe that's partly because we haven't been pushing it as much as perhaps we should have, of getting entries and so on. So we're going to have to do some work in that area as well.
It is a tricky one because it wasn't just last year either. It was the last few years. The numbers haven't been great, have they?
No, they haven't. And that's a pity because it is a prestigious event, and New Zealand Bridge or the board recognise that it is a prestigious event and they're wanting to put some lustre back onto it.
Waikato Bays didn't actually do too badly this year, Alan. We actually finished up third overall in the standings, which is not a bad effort.
And I have to take my hat off to the women's team. They did brilliantly.
Oh, wasn't that marvellous?
Played every match and they won. It was just phenomenal. I don't even think they needed to play the last match.
I think you're right, Alan. I think they actually had a match in hand going into the last. So, what a great situation to be in. So it wasn't a bad effort by our teams this year, but it'd be nice to get a little bit of hope, a little bit higher in the standings.
Yes, it would be. And it is interesting insofar that in our region, of course, we do not have the type of club, for example, Akarana, where they play a great deal of teams. So teams are an adjunct to our play. Most of our players are pairs players or duplicate players. So we maybe need to push the teams side of things a bit more as well. And it also applies to the rubber bridge. You know, that's one of the downsides of computer scoring, in my view, is that people don't actually quite know how the scoring works and what their tactics should be. And so there's a lot of work. Nick Whitten, for example, puts a lot of effort in trying to get people to understand the tactics for rubber bridge. And
yes, that's very good.
The tactics change for rubber, the tactics change for teams. IMP teams, over tricks don't matter.
Funnily enough, since the new scoring change, overtrack tricks do matter a little bit more than they used to. They actually do count for a little bit if you keep on losing overtricks.
Well, they do. They do. An imp here and imp there. It's a bit, little bit like some of what the economists say. You know, a billion here and a billion there, and in no time at all, you're starting to talk real money.
You mentioned that the region's still interested in supporting clubs with advertising for lessons. There's a maximum amount that a club can request. How much is that again, Alan?
We will subsidise the club 50% of their expense for advertising up to $200. They're $400, we'll contribute $200, yeah.
And you just have to quantify your cost by sending an invoice, yeah?
Yep, it's not just a free handout to everybody. The money does need to be spent and we will assist in that area. Which raises a question too, of course, directing and teaching. The directors, we're struggling with our pool of directors, as I think every region is. So we have an initiative now of a forum where directors can get together within the region. We're doing it on email at the present moment. Hugh McAllister is leading that charge and doing a great job. We also need to put some more effort into the directing and getting teachers to the annual conferences. In the past, maybe we've been a bit laggard about supporting clubs financially there. We'll have to have a look at that as well.
This director's forum, I've got to say, I didn't know about it. I guess there's other people that don't. Alan, if somebody's interested in that, who do they contact? How do they get involved in that?
Hugh has emailed all of the clubs and said he'd like to know who the directors are in each club, whether they're qualified or not. And he's offering the forum and ideas. So, for example, he personally paid for people who were interested to join a forum in Australia. It was an online forum, and the people who attended apparently got some value from it. There were relatively few people, but it went well. And he's just trying to create an environment where people feel that they can say, look, I had this particular ruling I had to deal with. I'm a playing director. I took a little bit of time to sort out. I may have made the wrong decision. What should I have done under these circumstances?
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, all this sort of thing. Most of the time, we've got playing directors.
Obviously, clubs with small numbers, there's no way they can have non-playing directors.
The initiative is a great one, and the idea is that people can share their experiences and ask questions. There's no holds barred. It's all done on email. We'll look at doing it via Facebook or WhatsApp or whatever if people prefer it that way, but we're starting it off on email.
So if somebody wants to be involved in it, Alan, what would they do?
They can contact either Hugh McAllister or come through the Waikato Bay Secretary and she'll pass it on to Hugh.
Clubs have been advised of this, so your club will have heard about it. Yep.
Not all of the clubs have responded. That's fairly usual. The initiative is a good one and we're right behind it at the present moment. We're trying to make it work.
So anything else happening in the region that, I mean, obviously you've got plenty on your plate as it is. You've got a good committee this year, Alan?
A good committee. We're working well together. We reformed the committee in the middle of last year for various health reasons and things like that, which was out of sequence. But the people who've put their hands up are enthusiastic and are working well together. So I'm absolutely delighted with the team.
How many have you got on the committee, Alan?
We've got five of us at the present moment with Anna as an observer. Anna Kellner.
Just confirm what the secretary's address. secretarywbbc@gmail.com.
Ella Gray is our secretary at the present moment, and she'll handle that and flick it on to Hugh.
Brilliant.
The other thing, of course, that we're trying to deal with, or is under consideration, but this is largely a club issue at the present moment, is the online versus face-to-face.
Yeah.
The whole feeling from our October meeting was people like face-to-face. However, they also recognise that the premier events are probably best held online so that participation can be countrywide. And in fact, it goes beyond the boundaries of the country in a small way as well.
Mm.
That is the area that we are supporting, I guess, overall, face-to-face for a lot of things. But the premier events, that's sort of 10A point and higher online. Obviously, other factors in that as well. Some clubs that are more remote would be interested in probably online. But as I said before, the Waikato Bays is not hugely diverse in its distances.
I'm sure it's not just Waikato Bays. The NZ Bridge seems to be struggling with what's going to happen with online and face-to-face this year as well.
You know, we were hoping that there'd be a fairly definitive statement from the trial from last year by now. You're right. They're struggling. I've talked with various members of the board about it. Everybody is scratching their heads as to quite what to do. There's no doubt that it cuts the cost of travel, cuts the cost of accommodation, but people like the social aspects of it.
Once again, though, Alan, they have to support it if that's what they want, because what happened with the trial is the numbers that were playing on the online events were huge, and unfortunately, some of the face-to-face events, they didn't really get supported so well.
That's true, too. And yet, do we say, all right, we'll have it online, to heck with the social aspects of the game? That's going to shoot us in the foot in the long run as well, I think.
It's definitely a hard subject.
I don't altogether agree that there aren't some social aspects of online bridge, real bridge. When you're sitting around with people, you can see them, you can talk to them. There is some social reaction there. But
you're absolutely right. But I would suggest that for us who've been playing for a number of years, we know an awful lot of the people by sight. We might not necessarily know all of their names, but we know who they are. And so on. So we know we have that social aspect. If you were coming into the game and you were doing it all online, it would take you a little bit of time to get that other social aspect going.
That is true.
What about the unaffiliated clubs, Alan? I wonder if they actually think that they could move their little games online. Wouldn't that be a hoop? But they'd have to affiliate, wouldn't they?
No, well, I don't think they need to affiliate. Look, that's another initiative that we are support. It's just been started up. Michael Neals is behind it. He's in Cambridge, and there's a large number of retirement villages around the area. And what he's offering to those is that they have little bridge groups in those places that aren't affiliated. And in fact, a lot of the people aren't even aware of the competition bridge and the club bridge that's available around the place. So what he's doing is offering them the boards pre-dealt that are done under the X Club, and so they can play those boards and then compare their results, against all of the rest of the X Club participants, and see how they're doing. So what he's trying to do is engender a little bit of interest, a wider interest in it, with the aim of getting them to actual learners' classes and getting a bit of competition flavour into their bridge so that they maybe then join an affiliated club or maybe affiliate themselves. At the present moment, a lot of people are just saying, oh, no, this is just our little club here, but there's some interest in it and it's worth the try.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, this X Club's basically, well, it's free, isn't it? And they get to compare their scores against hundreds of other peers that are playing in the same thing. And it's not actually compulsory on
them. No, it's not. And that's part of the thing. And more important, Bob Kern has got a cut-down version of Compass now, which is a very simplified version of Compass that these organisations can use. So they can do their own scoring and things like that. And it will update the X Club and they can compare and do all sorts of things. So it's another nice initiative that a person has come up with and we're fully supporting it.
We can all use all the help we can get. And
that's pretty innovative.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Well, I took the opportunity of having a chat with Alan Morris at the Thames Festival about it. And he was very supportive of the idea as well. So we're kind of saying to Michael Neal, go for it, mate. We're right behind you.
Is that all, Alan?
It's keeping my mind rather well occupied, Mariana.
Good. Lovely. Thanks very much for your time. It's great to hear what Waikato Bays have got in there. And if you missed that email, it's secretarywbbc@gmail.com if you want to get a hold of Alan and the Waikato Bays Regional Committee.
Indeed.
Love Thank to you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Alan.
No problem.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Hey, nice to see you again so soon after Thames, Julie.
Yeah, and it was cooler this year in Thames, a little bit.
We had a nice breezy table, so we were right near the exit, and it was lovely.
That breezy was trying to blow the cards away. Yeah. I had to catch one.
I know we're on air, but how's Nigel?
Well, he's off to the vet tomorrow, and hopefully we'll find out whether he needs any dentistry or not.
Okay.
the cat, is it?
Yeah. So he's in the wars.
What a great name.
So anyway, you're not getting away with answering that question this week. That isn't the question. So being a helpful partner can only be a good thing, can't it? Let's just say that you're playing against a pair that you know quite well and you know what their system is. And so maybe partner opens a no trump and they double, or maybe you open a no trump and they double. And you know, because you know what they play, that this double isn't like a normal just penalty double. It specifically shows hearts or it shows spades or whatever the heck the agreement is. You know it, they know it, but your partner doesn't know it. So Julie, can you ask what it means, even though you know what it means, because you want to help your partner out?
No. Really simple. Absolutely. You are not allowed to ask questions for partner's benefit. You are allowed to ask, in all fairness, because someone plays something at some point doesn't necessarily mean they're still playing it at another point. So it may actually not be such a silly idea to double check for yourself that their agreement is still the same as it was a month, a year, 10 years ago. So you can ask because you want to confirm what you think they are playing, but you cannot ask because you want to tell partner what they are playing. And that is really important. You are not allowed to ask questions for your partner's benefit.
Pretty fine line, isn't it? You could always argue you were just asking because you wanted to check, when in reality you probably wanted your partner to know.
Yeah, well, law is a wonderful thing, and the bridge laws tend to find you guilty rather than innocent. There is a line there that I suppose it can get rather fudgy, but certainly the rule book is really, really clear about it. You cannot ask questions for your partner's benefit. They have to ask themselves. Have a partner that knows to ask questions when they should, rather than when they shouldn't.
On the same theme, Julie, let's say your partner has a habit of playing without thinking or playing quickly or too quickly or whatever. Let's call them Nigel just for argument's sake. And they play.
They just go, wow.
Uh-oh, I think you've got fighting to come.
The declarer plays off the dummy and you know that your partner's got an important decision to make here. Is it okay to take a little bit longer than usual over your play to give partners some more time to think.
No, again, really simple. But you're not doing things for partners' benefit. I mean, in all fairness, if you're playing with a partner that thinks quickly and you're taking some time, maybe they'll start wondering whether the washing is dry or what we're cooking for dinner. They may not necessarily think about what you want to make them to think about. I mean,
stuff.
Be reasonable, right? In what world is taking a bit more time going to get partner to think about the right things? All right?
Because they're probably going to drop off and go to sleep.
And when do they think about what we want them to think about?
And here's me just trying to be a helpful partner in 2024, and I'm going to get the book thrown at me. And for the record, the director's word of the week directly from Judge Julie was fudgy.
Did you get that? I like fudgy bridge.
There was a time yesterday at Thames when my partner was taking a long time to think about his action and plan, and they got reminded by the players. And then I thought, if he's got something to think about, maybe I should start thinking too, because I was in la-la land. I had no idea what I was doing. I thought, right, there must be something to think about.
There was a lot of stuff around questions and thinking about what and when and how, because you get told off for thinking too long. You get told off for asking questions at the wrong time. There's a whole raft of stuff here. And it's all about the way the information flows across the table. So if there's an auction and your opponents make a jump bid, which uses a stop card like it should, or gets alerted, then you may well want to ask the meaning of the bid, particularly with a jump bid where you're meant to look interested. But at a certain point in an auction where you know you're not going to bid and the opponents do something odd, you're not there to determine what their bidding means or anything else. You're there. If you're not going to bid, just let it continue. When you ask at the end of the auction, before you make the opening lead, or after partner has made the opening lead face down, you can say to them, what does all this mean? And they have to tell you, all right? So your partner's taking a long time to think. They are allowed to take a long time to think. They might have a real problem in their hand, and they are allowed to think. Biggest problem with questions and thinking is your partner knows you've got something that you are worried about one way or the other. And if you are worried about something, that tells your partner something about your hand that they are not allowed to know. So there's a problem not with taking time, but with the fact that your partner's got an idea that you've got something in your hand, end of story, because you're taking a long time to think. All right? And some of the time when you ask questions about the bidding, you're going to emphasise about a suit, and then partner's on lead, and if they lead that suit and you've got it, there's going to be a director call. Mm. So unless you've got a really good reason, right, then let people have the option. If people take a long time to think and you're their opponent, you say to their partner, do you agree that there's been a bit of time taken? If everyone agrees, you keep going, and at the end of the hand being played, if there's a problem, the director will sort it out. If you have all agreed there's been a break in tempo or hesitation or whatever.
Right.
There's no need for people to get, well, you're taking too long. You're sitting there thinking, and you're going around in a circle a bit, and someone says you're taking a while. What do? You start again. So now it takes twice as long. It's not.
You've interrupted my train of thought.
Mm. Yes, and you are allowed to think if you've got a problem. But when you stop to think, or you ask questions that are not quite appropriate, or have an emphasis about something, even if it's not intentional, then there could be issues for your partner.
Right. All right?
Mm-hmm. And that's got us off the track, but it's just one of those things. And don't get me started on deep finesse, but we might talk about that next week. Seriously.
Maybe next week she'll bring some fudge along, Mariana, as well.
Might make me sweeter. You never know.
You never know. I've written it down, deep finesse, next week.
Okay, thank you, Judge Julie. She started off the new year by having a trailer for next week's show. That's a great idea.
Well, awesome. I'd be here then, hadn't I?
Yeah. Thank you for that. That's magic.
Bye for now.
Bye.
And since Judge Julie was doing a trailer for her session next week, I thought I'd give you a little heads up on what I'm doing over the next few days. Being at Thames, I was able to meet with Nicole Barclay. Now, she's involved with a new scoring program that you can score for all bridge games, and it's actually done on your smartphone. We're hopeful to get Nicole to come on and tell us all about it. The Hamilton Bridge Club is actually meeting with Nicole this week, and we're just having a look at what the product can bring. And it's called IBX. And if you want to have a look online for it, have a look at it. It seems pretty great, a new thing. And I think anything that we could do to revolutionize our game, in particular bridge scoring, we should have a look. So we're open to it and be really looking forward to it. It's an exceptional new electronic bridge scorer for every bridge game. It's a new bridge scoring solution, and it's done on your phone. So it's easy scoring. You can set up, correct, upload scores anywhere, anytime. There's no special setup or outlay required, and getting started is absolutely free. One-touch live results, cloud-based storage and access. It probably looks similar to an iPad function in terms of the layout, but we'll get as much goss as we can, and hopefully Nicole will have some time to talk with Barry and I this week. Fingers crossed, people. Very interesting. And to close the show, both Barry and I went and played in Thames, and here are the results.
So the Thames Festival, done and dusted for another year, 2024. So the winners of the pairs were Hugh McGann and Michael Weir. By the way, I heard that entries closed, Mariana, and I think there were 56 pairs in the Swiss pairs, and they were limited to that. And Michael Weir and Hugh McGann were the 55th pair to enter.
Wow.
So that was cutting it a bit fine, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They came out on top in the Swiss pairs. The teams was won by the Jarvis team, which was Grant Jarvis, Ken Newell, and Liz and Blair Fisher. They snuck home from the Woo team, which was Kate Terry, Judy Pawson, Lindy Wu, and John Wilkinson.
And it was great to see that Lizzie got presented with her plaque for reaching Gold Grandmaster.
Well done to Liz. And I just read today on the website, the winners of the Baden-Wilson for 2023 were Liz and Blair Fisher. Blair winning the male version, Liz winning the female version. For the second year in a row, that's happened. Pretty big effort.
Good. If you want to check out a photo of Liz receiving her plaque from Alan Morris, then jump onto the Hamilton Bridge Club website. We'll be uploading that shortly. Next tournament, Barry. Where's your next one?
I think it's probably the Tauranga Congress at the end of the month.
Oh, yep.
And so that's quite a big event coming up, and some pretty strong fields entered.
Nice. All right, well, that's about it. I hope everybody has a great week. Play some bridge. And if you've got some friends that don't know how to play bridge, start talking to them, because we need those numbers up and bring them into lessons.
Lessons will be starting soon, and as you heard from Alan Dick, Waikato Bay's region really trying to support clubs in their quest to teach more people the game of bridge.
Well, see you at the table.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. For more episodes of this Community Access Radio show, please visit freefm.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast possible by funding the Access Internet Radio Project.